was up co-facilitating with Dr. Dan Fouts and his new wife, Tamara. Some of you know her from ProEvity. And anyway, they're newlyweds. They just got married in early September, so we're really excited about that. Anyway, we had a great time in Calgary, Canada, and wonderful people up there. It was just a joy to be there. And one of the things they asked me to train on Saturday was prospecting professionals and how do you go after professionals and successful people. So I thought, wow, this is such a great training. I'd like to do it for everybody on the Monday call. So I'm choosing to kick off this week on this one. And then what I'd like to do is I'm going to try to put a forum together to get a number of presidentials, maybe two others, and help you with how to do a business presentation and maybe do a call on that so people can get some ideas. You know, I can teach you how I do it, but I think there's so many different ways of doing business presentations. It'd be fun to have more than one person who talks about how I present the business to people so that you can get a real flavor for that. And if that's something that's you guys would like to hear about, let me know, and I'll make sure we make that happen. It's something that I think is really critical for all of us. In fact, I'm also looking at doing a power training all around just how do I support the business, how do I present the business, and that'll include languaging and charts and PowerPoints in addition to overcoming the objections that you have a hard time with. And so I will be doing a power training on that starting off in January. So anyway, so let's talk about how to you know, prospecting successful people. How do I do that? Because some of you, the minute you see a successful person, you just shy away. You become the wallflower, and you stand against the wall, and you stay away from them because, you know, you make the assumption in your head because they're successful, they're not going to be interested in what we have. And that's a horribly bad assumption to make and so terribly inaccurate. So I don't want you to be there on that. I think when you see successful people or you see dynamic people, I want your brain to start going the exact opposite direction. I want you to look at that person and say, I want them in my business. And I even portrayed this when I was up in Calgary this weekend. I said, I was on the airplane flying up there, and there was this woman on the airplane, a stewardess, who was just dynamite. I mean, she was so personable. She was laughing. She was friendly. She was just outgoing, loved working with people, you know, and it was like, wow. I want her in my business. Now, a lot of you, you know what you'd say if you saw somebody like that walking up and down the aisle in an airplane. You'd go, oh, this is inappropriate. It's not the right time. Or you'd come up with 100 reasons not to talk to her. Well, I only had 100 reasons to talk to her because I want her in my business. And when you want someone in your business, you know, there's a famous biblical concept of ask and you will receive, right? But if you don't ask, you're guaranteed not to receive. So don't stay quiet. Don't get caught up in your stuff. Deal with a reality check about, do I want my business to grow or I'm going to stay stuck? And so I just started talking to the woman. And of course, right away in Calgary, somebody said, well, Mary Jo, what do you say to her? And I said, I just comment on her personality. I mean, I don't look at her and go, hey, I'm in network marketing and I really like you to join me because I think you do a great job. No, that's not what I say. I just look at her, and she's got a name badge on, so it's really easy to talk to somebody from a first-name basis. So I just said, Sharon, you know what? I just want to tell you, you are dynamite. And she just looks, she goes, I said, you're just great with people. You love everybody. You're just doing a great job. You seem to interact with everybody so well and have a caring heart, and it's just wonderful. And she goes, oh, well, and she'll make some comment. I said, you know what? Have you ever looked at doing something different besides being a stewardess, perhaps that really gives you an open door to unlimited income? Because I think you have the capacity to do that. And that's all I said. Now, why can't you just build a relationship with somebody, tell them how great they are, talk about, tout them, and see what you saw in them, their personality, and see what you liked about it, and then just toss that out? It's not about Manatech or network marketing. It's about finding out if she can dream bigger. Can she look at life and say, wow, I would love to do something with unlimited income? You know, that's all I'm asking her to think about. And we exchanged cards, and she wanted to know more. And I said, you know what, now is probably not the right time. Let's talk. You and I will get on the phone. I'm from Dallas. We can talk anytime. You know, and that's it. Leave it at that. But you guys, some of you get stuck because you don't even know how to do it. But that's just a technique that you got to start intriguing people. It's kind of goes along with what we're doing with Ready, Set, Go, although, you know, I've been doing it all my life. But the Ready, Set, Go program is the same thing. The ready is what? It's what if. It's the intrigue piece. You want to intrigue somebody, and that's what you want to leave with them is the intrigue. If they can't get intrigued, then you know what? If Sharon would have looked at me and said, "No, Mary Jo, I really, this is my dream come true to be a stewardess, and it's all I ever want in life, and I love the amount of money I'm making. I don't need a dime more, and I'm just totally satisfied with life." And I'm going to go, "Great, joy in everything you do." And then I go, "Next," right? But there are very few people who are going to tell you that they love everything about their life and they love exactly what they're doing and they're making exactly the kind of money they want, and because that's not true about our society. So, again, but you got to approach them. You got to step up. Why do you approach successful people for your business? Why? What is the why behind it? Because if you don't know the why, then you're not going to do it. Some of you even know the why, and you still don't do it because you're so intimidated, but we'll work on that too. Why do we approach successful people for our business? Well, because first look at, do sick people get you to presidential? Now, if sick people get you to presidential, it's only because they get well and they have tremendous results in their health. And that's what triggers them to have a passion second to none to drive this business. And that's great. But people can have a passion to have a better lifestyle and create incredible results for themselves without necessarily having wellness, you know, achieving some great wellness with the products. And that's what you need to start accepting, to make that paradigm shift in your head, because that's where you're stuck. People have incredible dreams in their life if you can start digging it out of them. It's the why. It's the whys in their lives. It's like, can I not have a better life? And that can trigger a tremendous passion, equal to the passion you see in some of the people that have great recoveries from their health. But the important thing is that, you know, well people are in a much better position to kick off and run with your business right now. Not, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 3 years from now. They're ready and wearing to go right now. And with the energy levels there to really, really build your business. So you want to make sure you're going after wellness, and that's another great thing about the new approach with Manatech, is we're going after wellness in a bigger way, because that's our new approach. It's like enriching your quality of life. So it's not about seeking out people with disease conditions. It's about seeking out people that just honor and respect the fact that they can take back control of their health and that they can what? Make a difference in their health. And they are totally committed to wellness. So you want to get well people, because well people are going to be the ones with more energy, more dynamics to really grow your business with you. Is your business exactly where you want it to be right now? I don't know anyone in Manatech who would say yes to that question. We all want to grow our business. We all want to have a bigger and better business because we have things that we want to do with the results of having a greater business. And or we want to have a business that it touches more lives, right? And so some people go, "Well, Mary Jo, I don't want to go after successful people or people who are well because, you know, then I'm not helping the sick people." And I look at them and I just shake my head. Because the reality is if you find well people who are totally committed to this mission and they drive you to platinum presidential, don't you think maybe you're impacting more lives in your business than you were when you were just a regional director? Just look at pure numbers. When you get somebody who's well, is totally turned on fire, I mean, they're going to create incredible stuff for your downline, and they're going to touch more people than you've ever touched on your little sickness, you know, party venture that you've been on. So the idea is to really truly find the well people who are going to go out and have all this energy and sign up hundreds of people, because they're the ones that are going to double, triple, quadruple your organization, and then you can look at it and say, "Wow, look at the lives my organization's impacting today compared to what I was doing 6 months ago or 2 years ago." Whole different world. So unless you think your business is exactly where you want it to be, you need to start going after successful people. At the Presidential Unity Peak meetings that we've been having, I remember at one of them, Sam stood up and he just said, "Let's just look at a reality check." He said, "How many of you people in this room?" Now remember, you got a room full of 300 or so presidentials. He said, "How many of you in this room were involved in your own successful business before you got involved with Manatech at some stage in your life before you got the hands went up in the room?" Now, people, think about it. If statistically 80% of the people, the most highly successful people in Manatech, the presidentials and platinums and whatever, 80% of them were in a successful business prior to getting in Manatech, statistically, doesn't that tell you what kind of people you want to go after? It tells you statistically successful people are going to be successful in everything they do. They're not just successful by a whim or a wish or a want. They're successful because they understand what it takes to be successful. So if they take a successful person who's doing this successfully, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do Manatech successfully as well. And I truly believe that. I think being successful is about habits. It's about programming. It's about our belief system. It's about doing the things it takes. And it's, you know, read Napoleon Hill's book. If you don't believe me on that, it's just, you know, think and grow rich. It's truly about choices we make and habits we build and how we drive ourselves, and that's what makes successful people. So you want to go after people who are successful because those people are going to be the ones most likely to be successful in Manatee. It increases your chances of having a tremendous organization, and that's why you go after successful people. And then the concept, too, of are you really working this as a business or a charity? You got to evaluate that. Why are you working your Manatech business? Are you working it as a business? Wherever I go, I'm not kidding, doesn't matter where I do trainings, I always ask people everywhere I go, what do you want more of in your downline? And everybody tells me they want business partners or business builders. I use the terminology business partner today because I think it has a lot more empathy and heart than business builder, because a business builder is somebody else. It's not a business partner. Is somebody that's close and near and dear. There's that connectiveness in that language. But everybody wants it, but then I ask how many people present the business, and nobody raises their hands. In the last, I think I did this when I did this in Calgary this weekend, I think we had 6 people raise their hands that they present the business opportunity. Out of the entire room of people, almost 100 people there, and 6 present the business. So so are you in a business or are you in a charity? What are you really in? And start opting to be in the business. Because if you want business results, then you need to be in the business, and that means that you pursue successful people to help grow your business with you and partner with you. Okay, so that's the why. That's the why you go after successful people. The why network marketing, this has got to be your starting point, people. Whenever you're looking at anyone to join your business, you've got to know why network marketing. You've got to buy into it, believe in it, love it, and you've got to see the advantages it brings to people who are already out there in the business world being successful, whatever they might be doing. So you need to know the why network marketing. And so what we did up in Calgary is I just let the whole group respond to why network marketing, and they came up with a bunch of stuff. I wrote these out, just some of them by memory, but most of them are just things that would come to our head off the top of my head. So you can look at time freedom, and I gave a little definition to some of these because I think they're misnomers. As I told people up in Calgary, I said time freedom. I said, you know, I have yet to find that in my life. And I'm not talking about... There's a way of defining time freedom. There's a set of time freedom that I truly have today like I've never had in my entire life. But it's not the time freedom from a concept that I can walk away from all of this for 6 months and come back. That's not what I define as time freedom. What I define as time freedom for me is that I choose to do what I want to do every hour of my day. Now, that is time freedom. Does that make sense to some of you? And that's an invaluable asset to have in your life, that you can choose to do what you want to do every hour of your day. A very big difference between the concept of trying to represent to people that, oh, man, you get involved in this and you can take 6 months off and your business grows without you. I haven't found that to be true about my business, but the intriguing thing is I really haven't done it because I have no interest in doing it. I mean, I go on, you know, the incentive trips, all these free trips, man, that gives me all at least 2 a year, and, you know, I spend time with my family, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's my life. But I don't have a lot of desire in my heart to take off 6 months and go do something else. It's just not a desire of my heart at this time. If I did, I would go do it. But the interesting thing is the desires in my heart to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So when my nephew flies in town and he goes, oh, I'm staying an extra couple of days, I can take Monday afternoon off and we can go golfing and play 18 holes of golf. I'm not responsible to anyone. I'm not, you know, I don't want to say that. I'm responsible to God, truly. But I'm not, you know, the responsibility for me lies with me and my relationship with somebody else. That, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have total time freedom that I choose what I do with my time. And that's how I look at time freedom. Self-development, of course, is gigantic. In fact, it's, to me, the most important aspect of what network marketing gives people. But I'm not sure it's something that successful people are going to value, like you and I might value it, who've gone through it and seen the transformation or metamorphosis in our own lives. Successful people, a lot of times, because they're successful, they have perhaps not all are ego-driven, but they have substantial egos, and they don't always look at themselves as having needs in this area, although I guarantee you that's where some of the greatest needs are. Anyway, but self-development is, and the reason I put it on the list is why network marketing is, it also, as you well know, if you've read, Kiyosaki's book, The Business School for People Who Like Helping People, it's his number one reason why he loves network marketing, is because of the training that's involved in getting you out of your own way and getting rid of rejection and fears and, you know, all the I'm not enough, all the stuff in the programs in our life. There's no other industry that does it quite like network marketing does, so it's beautiful. Purpose-driven, huge, that we get to, you know, fulfill purposes in life instead of an 8-to-5 job and punching in, punching out. We really get to grab on to fulfilling purposes that we have and that drive us. Unlimited income is a huge one. In an interesting concept, you know, people in the audience in Calgary were suggesting they didn't have unlimited. And I said, every single person in this entire room in Manitech has unlimited income. And every one of you on this telephone call has unlimited income. Now, you may have limited it by what you do and don't do, but it's not that the income is limited. It's that who's limited it. You have. You've chosen to behave or operate in a way that's limited it, but the income flow is truly unlimited. You just need to be operating differently, coming from a different path to open up the limitations that you've put on it yourself. Does that make sense? So the reality is that every single one in Manitech is earning unlimited income. It's just what have they done with it is up to you individually. Residual income is a whole other aspect to network marketing. You can talk about unlimited income because it truly is. There's no cap on it. The residual income is a totally different principle. It's a principle of the fact that you don't have to punch in and out of a clock. It flows no matter what. The income comes no matter what. So it's a check that hits that mailbox no matter what. And that's the beauty of getting a flow of residual income. And we know that we get into that when we talk about, you know, what Kiyosaki says is it's really the true clue to wealth. And when you read other books and other that I've read and other things that I've trained on, like when you talk about the true clue, if you want to know what the true difference is between wealthy people and unwealthy people, their secret is residual income flow. That's the secret of the wealthy. It's residual income flow. They create streams of residual income flow, and that's what allows them to be wealthy. That's what creates the wealth for them and allows them to live the lives they have, is those residual income streams. So that is really, I call that the secret of the rich and famous. No, the secret of the wealth is the residual income. Dream again, of course, with network marketing. If you have unlimited income, that opens up the possibility of dreaming again and grabbing onto a dream. You build great relationships with people. It's a people business. It's a belly-to-belly business. Reduce stress. You just don't have the stress. And it's not that we don't have stress in networking. I would find it hard to say that none of us had any stress over the last 6 months. Many of us have been through some stressful times. But the idea is that it's not stress that's created by a boss or an environment. We're not taking massive drugs, anti-anxiety pills, and all the rest of the stuff. There's a level of freedom there. It reduces the structure that is very much responsible for a lot of the stress that enters our life. You have no boss. There's where some of our stress comes from in our life. You have no boss. Great incentive trips. So you get opportunities to travel that you may never have had in any other opportunity. No employees, which we love, because that's just, to me, when I had my employees, I had massive headaches from living their lives as well as my own. Because every one of their problems all of a sudden became my problem because it was a limitation on the business. And then the tax benefits are just off the charts terrific. So that's just, and you guys have been through this list before, so I'm not teaching anything new. I may have put a new twist on some of the things, and hopefully you can look at them a little differently. But you can even add more things to it. But it's imperative if you're going to go after successful people that you really have very great clarity around why network marketing, because you can't go out there and market something if you don't know why it's so terrific and what it brings to the table for them. And these are the different attributes. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go and meet with a successful person and run through every single one of these, because there are going to be certain ones they're going to be attracted to and other ones they're not. Just like I mentioned about self-development, I think successful people perhaps aren't going to see the value in that when they first get started. And that's what we're talking about, prospecting successful people. That's what we're going after. So that concept isn't going to be one that really would a professional even look at network marketing? What is it that their needs are? What are their wants? What are their needs? And that's your next step. Once you fully understand what you have to offer, first you got to go back. After you understand it, get a real grasp of that so you have a foundation in your head of how you can help people. Now you can step out and start approaching successful people, and your concept with approaching them is to find out what their needs and wants are. Find out where that loop is. Where is that? Where can I help support this person? And the way you find out is you ask questions. Again, the questions, asking questions. It's all about that. Notice how I handled the stewardess and the American Airlines flights. I didn't tell her. I just asked her. I acknowledged her for the incredible personality I saw and the characteristics of just being able to be so open and honest with people and have such a joy of relationships, you know? And she acknowledged it and came back, and we chatted about that a little bit. And then I asked her questions, right? I asked her questions about had she ever thought about doing something else other than being a stewardess, because she has these great talents that could really produce unlimited income for her if she ever chose to step into it. You know, that's a question. And now she can, now it's up to, now I can find out. But you have to ask questions to find out people's wants and needs and their desires in their lives and what their hot buttons are. And so you need to be asking questions. And then you need to be what? Listening. Listening is so critical. And, of course, I keep harping on that because I know how weak our listening skills are. And then finally you come to solutions. So it's ask, listen, solve. And what is it that they don't like, that they're, you know, what is it about what they're doing today that they don't like? You need to find out what that is, because there aren't any professionals, any successful people that don't have issues going on somewhere. It's just like they're no different than you and I. We all have issues. We all have things that we like or don't like. And what your job is to do is to be Sherlock Holmes and play that role. Because statistics are overwhelming that in most career jobs that people are unhappy with their jobs. I picked on lawyers just because that's where I was. Lawyers specifically find little, if any, purpose in their law firm job. So right away, look back at your sheet about why network marketing, what is it, purpose-driven. You know, so maybe you circle that one. That's a big one for, you know, lawyers or other successful people, because they're so caught up in making money and being successful at what they're doing that they've lost track of, and they've become very myopic about what this world is all about. And they feel a real big loss in their heart for not making a contribution. So are they purpose-driven? Do they feel like they're fulfilling their inherent or their God-given purpose? And most of these people are going to go, I don't even know what you're talking about. All I'm trying to do is make money. I went to school, got a great job. I'm trying to, you know, climb the corporate ladder, and that's where my focus is. Wow. You get it? So there's a big deal there. That's a big one. And lawyers, too, are people that trace every hour of every day, and they get tired. It's a drag. It's, you know, they constantly have to keep track of every single hour, and that's the way they run their life. So right away, when you start seeing lawyers that, you know, trace their time, it's kind of like the Kiyosaki nightmare, right? Remember reading Kiyosaki and talking about people who exchange time for dollars? Well, your lawyers are classic, because that's all they do. The billable hours is how they make money. So you got them right, you know, right up their alley. It's exactly what they do every day. So that's something that you can interact with in terms of Kiyosaki. Lawyers really aren't in the employee quadrant; they're actually in the self-employed quadrant for the most part. But some lawyers are employed, but most of them, you know, like if they're in corporations and other arenas, but most lawyers in law firms are really more self-employed in those law firms, even though they're actually members of law firms, because most law firms are run as partnerships, either limited liability corporations that are treated like partnerships or general or limited partnerships. So you got that structure that's going on there. Ethical issues sometimes occur in corporate jobs and in successful people's jobs, and they are stuck with ethical issues. What kind of ethical issues are we talking about? We're talking about issues around you know, corporate fraud and corporate, you know, like Enron. Do you think that there weren't a lot of successful people in Enron before it collapsed who really had some extreme problems? The woman who is the whistleblower for Enron was one of those people, but there were plenty of other people. When they're in an environment and they're just forced in an environment where there are a lot of illegal or, you know, underhanded or unethical things going on, it happens. Enron was just the tip of an iceberg. It happens in many, many, many business structures, because people, especially, you know, you can look at television and you can see how we've had a degrading of the ethics in our society, and those things occur in corporate offices as well, and CPA firms and law firms everywhere across the board. I remember some incredible issues I had as a new lawyer in the law firm I joined, and I would report them to management committee because I was so irritated. I remember, you know, reporting a partner who was lying about his billable hours, you know. I mean, really blatantly lying, and I even drew it out and showed, and they kind of laughed at me, and it really frustrated me. So you could tell by where Mary Jo was in her life that I wasn't long for that world. because it was so inconsistent with who I was. I don't believe in cheating on your billable hours. I mean, it just, I don't believe in cheating on anything. So I found it an abomination, first, that people were doing it, but secondly, that management committee just kind of laughed at me about it because they just accepted it because it had been going on, it goes on all the time. And I just look at them like, you know, that was unacceptable to me. So I know it happens in many arenas, and corporate America is no better. You know, running around in corporate America when I ran my company, boy, it was unbelievable. The manipulation, the fraud, the lies, the, you know, it's just crazy. It's all this stuff. So ethical issues, and that's another great thing about you're your own boss. You know, and I probably don't even really have that on the list on the front page of Y Network Marketing. You're your own boss, so you really get to, you get to create the relationships you want. You're not reporting to a boss, so you're not under stress. And I guess it could be reduced stress, and no boss could kind of take out those ethical issues. But, you know, I think creating, and let's just write that down under two, is maybe creating your own environment of ethics, creating your own your standard for the ethics of your business. You get it? Creating your standard for the ethics of your business. I think that's a huge one. Sorry, I missed it. We'll just put that right on the outline under two. Creating your standard for the ethics of your business. Gigantic. I think in a business world, that is huge for people to move out away from what they see as so wrong, because so much of the problems around the ethics are what cause the stress in people's lives, in corporate, and legal, in those kind of environments. So you find these things out by asking questions. Do they feel they're being fulfilled? Again, what contribution are they making in this world? What's their big, how are they impacting the world? You know, that's a big question mark. And then the compensation issue. You know, why be limited in their compensation? And again, they go through Kiyosaki cash flow quadrants about employees, self-employed, business owners, you know, and investors. And they have tremendous talent, and the other people are determining. And successful people get really caught up in this because they want to make the money they deserve. We can look at Tony Romo on the... I'll bring in the football aspect. You guys will laugh about that. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, so please don't ever accuse me of that. Brett Favre is still my favorite. But Tony Romo is like this incredible quarterback for the Cowboys right now, and his salary is $1.5 million. He's probably in the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks in all of the NFL. And those guys are making, Peyton Manning's making $10, $12 million a year, Brett Favre $10 million a year, and here's this guy making $1.5 million. Now, there's a guy that I think all of you guys ought to approach for Manatech, because he I'm just kidding, because Jerry Jones will probably give him, I don't know, he's right now negotiating for $30 million guaranteed in his new contract. But the idea is that there are people like that are underpaid for what they're doing everywhere. At least that's how they perceive themselves. You and I could say, I wouldn't mind getting paid $1.5 million for throwing a football for a few months of the year. Not that they would pay for my football prowess, but the idea is that $1.5 million sounds really big, but for what they're in comparison to other people. And that's what happens in that world. The world of successful people, they're always looking at who's getting paid more than I am. There's a huge amount of competition going in that arena. So money is a big issue, you know. Why do you let other people dictate what you're worth? Why don't you take on something that's got unlimited income, retire young, retire rich? A lot of these people, even in law, this is the one thing that's so cute about law, is that, you know, some of you might know this, some might not, but as a lawyer, when you're first out of law school, typically you end up in the library in a big, huge law. If you go to a big, huge law firm like I did, you'll end up in the library working like endless hours. I'm not kidding. I mean, I would work from 6 till 10 almost every day. I mean, and in on every Saturday. I mean, I get home my joy was getting home at 10 o'clock on Friday night and being able to sleep until like 10 the next morning, because on Saturday I have to be there so early. But, I mean, we put in, you know, just awful hours. And I think back and I think, my goodness, if I would have worked that hard at network marketing back when I was 24, 25 years old, you know, I could have been a platinum presidential. Of course, Manatech wasn't around back then, but think of where you could have taken your business and you built the residual income. And made 10 times what you were making practicing law. I would have made as much in 1 month as I made in a whole year in practicing law. But we don't look at it that way. But that's what you need to understand, that young professionals are in that realm. They have tremendous amount of stress and time that they put into it. And they also have the fear in the legal department, which is not unlike other areas of corporate America. What if you don't make it? You know? You guys sit in Manatech and think, what if I don't make it? Well, I teach people every day to get rid of the what ifs out of their brain, because all you're doing is creating your own fear. But I tell you, it's so competitive in a law firm. You look at only X number of people. They might hire 60 new associates or 50 new associates in these big law firms every year, and only 8 of those ever make it to partner status. So what happens to the other 52? So there's this competitiveness that's overwhelming. That's, and talk about stress is beyond belief. And that's in corporate America, too. So you have all this stuff about whether you're ever going to make the money. I'd rather be guaranteed I make it by putting my time and energy into something that produces clearly unlimited income for you. So that's another aspect of it. So all these things are things, but you've got to pursue it. Find out what is their needs, what are their wants, what are their desires. And then the next step is helping them overcome things that will get in their way from making the decision. One is the risk. What are they giving up? Because if they walk away from their law career, they walk away from their successful business or their successful sales job they have or success, they're giving up what they've already created. So what you have to do is help them over that hump. And if you're not ready to, because these successful people might look at you and say, well, how are you going to replace my income? You better be ready for answers for those questions when you approach successful people, because they're going to want to know what that looks like. Now, one way of doing it is talk about transition. You build a picture for them. They know they're going to get unlimited income. They're attracted to what you've already built for them, but then they have this risk of, you want me just to walk away from this money or what? You go, no, let's transition it. Why don't you spend 6 months? Let's do 6 months transition. You and I work together really intensively at getting this to happen. You can still do what you're doing, but let's watch what we create in 6 months. And let them transition out of what they're doing so that you can build a better life for them, okay? Or they can build, they will build a better life for themselves, because you don't want to take it on that it's your responsibility to build it for them, their responsibility. You are just the person, the wind beneath their wings to make this happen. So you want to do a transition, you could do that. You can talk to them about risk. When they talk about risk of what they're giving up, you can say, what are you giving up? Let's look at the Social Security statistics. I love those, and I've sent it out to all of you before, so I know you have them. That 30 out of 100 people, by the time they reach age 65, 36 will be dead, 54 will be dead broke. In other words, dependent on their meager Social Security, if we even have it anymore, because we know that Medicaid is going broke in 2017 and Social Security is going to be right behind it. So they're dependent on their meager Social Security, relatives, friends, or charity. 5 will continue working, not because they want to, but because they have to. Okay, now that's 95. So 90 people will be dead or dead broke. 5 will continue working, not because they want to, because they have to. 4 will be financially secure, and only 1 will be wealthy. In my book, that says 5% successful, 95% unsuccessful. So tell me about the risk you're facing in the job if you walk away from the job you have. When these are the statistics from Social Security, you get it? So maybe they get a better flavor of what the risk is. The risk is that they stay stuck in what they're doing and they end up in the 95%. And we don't want them to end up there. We want them to have that luxury of, having some time freedom so that they don't have a stress-free life and residual income, so that they don't kill themselves, they don't fall into the 36 dead because of stress, and they don't fall into the 54 dead broke because all they did was learn to spend more as they made more, and all of a sudden their business went upside down or topsy-turvy or was bought out and their job was liquidated, and now they have nothing. So what is the true risk? So there's another way of defining risk, too. So you can do that with them as well. The sense that they can do it, most successful people believe they can do anything because that's just how they are. That's what made them successful, what they're doing. But if they have that question, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you get them on 3-way calls with the upline presidentials or people that are successful in the business so they can really see that they can do it. Meet other people who've done it. So build their belief system that it's there to be had. So it doesn't matter. Some of you say to me, Marie Jo, I'm just a regional director. How am I going to convince them they're going to make 6 figures? And I said, of course you can. Because it's not about what you have or haven't done. It's about who you can get them associated with in your organization as a team to make this happen for them. Don't let your own insecurity about yourself be what's stopping you from being effective in this business. If you have a passion for this business, drive that passion. People are attracted to passion. Trust me, a successful person isn't going to look at you and think that your income limits them. I didn't, not that I went into this as a business, but when I looked at my upline, and she was living in a, we just built this $650,000 house and da-da-da-da-da. I looked at what she was making and it was like a big deal. I could double that. I mean, did you see? And I was not even a regional director when I did that. But that's the attitude of successful people. They believe that they can go beyond what any... But sometimes it's good to have them talk to somebody who has been successful because it helps them have that little tad of arrogance that, you know, oh, my gosh, if that person was successful, man, I could double what she's doing, you know? So there's some of that going on, competitiveness, because a lot of successful people also tend to be competitive. That's how God drove them to where they are. So there's some of that going on as well. So you want to make sure don't you step in their way. Don't you be the one that steps in your own way to approach them, and then don't step in their way as what holds them back, because it has nothing to do with what you've done or haven't done. It only has to do with what your passion is and your desire to build something greater and better. And you're putting a team together, and here's your upline. Let me get you in touch with her. And da-da. You know, free yourself up from looking at yourself, because that's what the whole, I'm telling you, that's the number one reason why you people don't approach successful people, because you look at yourself and you say, what do I have to offer? And that's a mistake. What do I have to offer? Oh, by the way, I do have those questions done. I promise you guys, and I will get Lydia to send them out to you after this call. Yeah. You know, somebody asked me about putting together questions about what I have to offer, because I said, don't ever go up to mentors or coaches that you want to have coach or mentor you and don't have something to offer them. And somebody said, well, Mary Jo, what do you have to offer? And I go, come on, really? I said, I could ask you 20 questions. And I wrote this down the other day, and I think, I don't know if I ever had Lydia type them up, but I have them, so I'm going to get them to you, I promise you, because I know I did it, and it's sitting around here somewhere, but I will get those to you today. You all have a ton to offer, and I didn't even need 20 questions. I think I got to 12, and I was like, this is great, this stuff. If this doesn't generate, you guys, my goodness. So, but you all have something to offer, so just get out of your own way. Don't you be the one that quashes your own energy around this. It's not about you focusing on you. It's focusing on what the greatness is in networking and what you can create with successful people around you. So, and then sense of timing. A lot of these people are going to look at timing. They're going to want to know, hey, when will they replace their six-figure income or whatever? And you want to be able to be clear on that. You can give, you know, sometimes you go to Manatech, the website, and download the cash flow and the income numbers off of the website, and you can talk about, you know, what do you look at if you really do this aggressively, how fast can you get to presidential? And you can say 6 to 12 months, you know, because people have done that. I wouldn't tell them they can be there in 60 days. That's, you know, so 6 to 12 months. My typical plan on somebody who's not dedicating full time would be, you know, a 2-year process, but 6 to 12 months is if you put all your energy like you do in your current job into this, you'll see incredible growth. So, and we'll just approach other people just like you, and that's the way we make this happen. So you look at, you know, what the time period, reasonable time period, you can give them, you know, 6 to 12 months, or in some cases, if somebody doesn't put all their energy behind it and doesn't have the aggressiveness you have, it may take them 2 years, but this is the way it looks. The other thing you want to do is, I put on the cheat, match personalities. It really doesn't fit under sense of timing, but I want people to understand that understanding personality quadrants are really important here, especially around successful people. And so if you have done some personality quadrant, you know, work, you know, that's great. If you haven't done any, you may want to, you know, get some materials from us or work with some of the books out there. There's plenty of documentation. You can look it up on the Internet and do some research yourself. But there are four basic quadrants. I use controller, analyst, promoter, supporter as my four quadrants. Some people use bear and otter and lion. And, you know, there's all different colors. There's orange, the blue, the green, and the, you know what I mean? Everybody's different in the way they define it. And Carol Merlo, I think, sent out a good piece that kind of went through, you know, compared all the different systems out there. And I think I may still have that, too, as well. So if you want some information on that, you can get a hold of us, and we'll be happy to get that out. But the personality, the reason you want to know personality quadrants is because if you come up against somebody who's an analyst, like let's say you're approaching somebody, what classic background would they have or what business would they be in? Probably in the accounting department somewhere. So you come across an analyst. These kind of people, they're really into numbers and details and exactness, and they want to make sure they have all their ducks in a row, so they're going to want to see everything. So you're going to have to spend a lot of time with them, getting them a lot of documentation about what Manatech is and what network marketing is, and give them statistics and all that data. That's how they operate. So you see the importance? They're going to operate very differently than a promoter. And promoters typically come from great sales jobs. They're going to be people that are great sellers out there, great salespeople. And they're going to be more after, you know, how fast is how much money can I make? They're really into how much fun can I have with it? You know, is this going to give me the time freedom? Because they love to have a good time. Promoters love to have a good time. They love free time, and they love to have a great time, and they love people, and they love to make lots of money. So they don't really care much about the details. They really don't. it's not about details for them. It's really about lots of fun, lots of money, lots of people, and that's what they're into. Supporters, on the other hand, will care about, you know, Manna Relief and, you know, how I touch lives and, you know, really being a part of something that to the birds, the bees, the little walks in the park and those kind of people. So that when you find somebody, and they're equally as successful, I mean, those people, I shouldn't say equally, they typically, they don't have as much success as the promoter quadrant does, but they are very, in their own rights, are very successful. Well, I have a presidential my downline editor who fits in that quadrant, solid as a rock, a supporter. So definitely can definitely do great in this business, because this business is so much about customer service and supporting people. And then the controller quadrant, which is the person that has to be in charge, you know. And they're the kind of people that you ask questions to and you say, you know, what are your weaknesses? And they'll spend 5 minutes maybe just to pretend that they're thinking about it, because they really don't have any. Okay. And they'll just come back dumbfounded, and they'll just kind of throw something out and say, well, I guess if you have to call it a weakness, I guess there may be this. Maybe for you guys it might be, but not for us, you know. You know, they're very result-oriented, bottom line, you know, so that you approach them differently. So knowing the quadrants is a helpful thing when you're dealing with successful people, because successful people tend to be very time-oriented. They don't give people lots of time, so you want to make sure that you walk into their quadrant. The number one place people will relate to you the best is if you're in their quadrant. So if you're a supporter, you can't be in your supporter quadrant and sign up a controller. You're going to have to somehow step into their quadrant, and that's where they're going to have the greatest level of acceptance of you, if you can deal with them in their own quadrant. So understanding it is important, because we can shift in any quadrant we want to, but most of us have a tendency to have a higher percentage in one of the four given quadrants. The next thing I wrote in the outline was just kind of recognizing driving forces of different age groups as well. So not only personality quadrants, but age groups. So you're looking at 20 to 30-year-olds. They have a whole different outlook on life than a 30 to 40 or 40 to 50 or 50 or 60. So acknowledge that as you're dealing with these people, so that you know what's the propensity or the tendency they're going to have towards different things. 20 to 30-year-olds are people that are just starting new families, many of them. And they have this really drive. They have a new baby at home, and even though it's crying all the time, they really have a drive. Wow, I'd love to be able to raise my kids from home. Unlimited income is incredibly attractive to that group. They want to make money, and they want to make it fast. They don't want to have to work really hard at it. The 20 and 30-year-olds are impatient. They want to make money now. They don't want to work 20 years to get to where their dad did. If you can show them how they can get there in 3 years instead of on their track, boy, that's what's going to drive them crazy. And they have very little risk. Why is that? Because they know they can turn around 5 days later and get another job and do what they're already doing. So the risk, they're not giving up a lot, because they haven't made a huge investment in what they're doing yet. So there's not a lot of risk at stake for them. So they're less risk adverse, because there's less risk involved for them, and they want unlimited income, and time is really important. So that's your 20 to 30. Your 30 to 40 year olds have already made an investment in their job for 5 to 10 years. So they probably are looking at their job as something that's really become, you know, they're making good money, but it's stressful. You know, they've got to be under more and more pressure every day, because that's the only way they climb the corporate ladder. So they want more free time. They're looking at, hey, how do I get from under this stress? How do I create a better, you know, if this is what my last 10 years look like, and sure, I'm making great money, but am I going to be alive? Will my health survive all this? And they start looking at some of the vagaries of their bosses. They start looking at who they're reporting to, and they don't like the structure, perhaps, so they're saying, boy, look, being my own boss is starting to look more and more attractive. So they have a different outlook. They also can be people that, too, now have four kids at home, and thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to spend more time, but that's their more free time. They're really more interested in more free time. They're not as driven as the 20 to 30-year-olds in putting all that time in their business. Now they're looking for more free time. By the time you're 40 and 50 in that category, I'm going to tell you there's a great book out there called Halftime, if you'd like to read it. I read it when I was in my late 30s, and it was a great book. It was about, you know, now you've been so successful in your life, what are you doing about it? What are you giving back? And sometimes it's really hard for people. I can tell you when I first read it, couldn't even think about giving back. I'd been really successful, but I hadn't accrued a lot of wealth. I mean, a lot of people get very successful, but you know what, they tend to spend more as they make more. And I tended to, you know, put a lot into my family members and other things that I was doing, because I was single and I had no need for it. You know, it was like Monopoly money or something. But it was like, now it was time to say, hey, what are you giving back? Oh, my gosh, I haven't thought about that. Maybe I need to be more responsible with my money. Maybe I need to look differently at making a contribution. But then it's about, how do I pour back? How do I make a contribution? And that drives people out of their business, sometimes out of their jobs, into another place. Or people that have accrued phenomenal wealth are now saying, you know what, I'm tired of this. People like to retire early. Did you guys see the statistics? There's a great statistic sheet out there and shows you that the time of death, they've related the year you retire to how old you end up being. And if there's a direct correlation. The younger you retire, the longer you stay alive. And that's an incredible statistic. I think that could be a sales point. In fact, let me get that information to you. I'm going to make a note of that to put it out to you guys, because I think that's kind of a neat thing. The earlier you retire, the longer you live, the greater longevity. So, and I'll send that piece out to you as well. So, but that's another piece you can help with the 40 and 50-year-olds, to try to get them into more of a retirement mode. And I really look at network marketing as a retirement mode, because, again, it's that time freedom. You get to choose what you do with your time every day. So put in a couple of really tough years in network marketing, grow that business, go crazy with it, and start looking at some of that time freedom. So the 40 to 50-year-olds, they've made a lot of money. What contribution? Then you get into the 50 and to 60-plus-year-old. Now people are looking at residual income retirement, make a contribution. Health is an overwhelming concern of the entire age group. So they're big into it. Everybody around them is big into it. So you have a whole other gist of driving forces they may have. People, these are just concepts, so don't take them as they're engraved in stone. I just think that when you approach people, you have to look at who they are, where they're coming from, and not always have your idea in mind, but open your eyes to the possibility they're going to come from different wants and desires, and there are going to be certain tendencies that might play a role in that activity. And the last thing I have in the outline was just your first contact with a successful person. And it's kind of like when you walk in a room of people and you see everybody, there's four people that everybody seems to be, surrounding. Well, you want the four people. You don't want the people surrounding them. You want the four people that are doing the talking. It's kind of like, when so-and-so talks, everybody listens. That's the person you want. And Bob Berg does great work on this. He's got some great materials out there, tape series and everything, about how to, get these successful people in your organization. And his whole concept is you don't even let them know what you do. You go find out what they do, what their needs are, and you figure out how you can pour into them first. So you first start pouring into them, they're going to be like, wow, this person's really great. Look what he did. He gave me this referral. He led this person over to my business, da-da-da. And then they're going to start wanting to pour into you. And that's when you start working on your area of business. We sometimes put the cart before the horse, and I think that costs us in relationships. I think building good relationships is about as you sow, so shall you reap. And it didn't say as you reap, so shall you sow. Some of you want to read that backwards. As you sow. So sow means what? As we pour in, as we're servants, as we contribute to others, then we shall reap. So there's a time for sowing and a time for reaping, and a lot of times we get too anxious about reaping quickly, so we get ahead of ourselves. So pour into these people first and contribute in their lives in a way to build a relationship with them, and then watch what happens down the road for you. A couple of great books for references people are The New Professional by Charles King and The Business School for People Who Like Helping People. I found tons of great quotes in there. I can't go through them because I don't have enough time on the call. In fact, we're already 5 minutes over. But I just ask you to go get those books, and if you don't have them, there's also some great articles out there. There's a Wall Street Journal article that came out in Friday, June 23rd, 1995. It talks about visions of wealth and independence lead professionals to try network marketing. So there's just a lot of great material out there, and there's more and more today in network marketing, as you know, through those magazines that they have, Success Magazine and whatever, that talk about the greatness of networking and what it's done for so many people. And then the Kiyosaki stuff today and the Paul Zane Pilger stuff about 10 million new millionaires coming from direct sales. All of that stuff is so super. And you can use that material as well when you talk to people about joining the new, successful people. Talk about 10 million new millionaires and what does that mean for you. Why is network marketing a great business to choose today? Because that's where the millionaires are going to come from. Okay, people, great. I guess we're going to close. Anyone have any questions? You want to get off the mute and ask questions, or otherwise we'll shut her down. Any questions? Any comments?
Mary Jo speaking.
Mary Jo, will you send out the information on the people, the different styles of people and
the
all
the quadrant
that?
Stuff? Okay, I'll send that out.
Yeah, the different styles of the successful, the supporter, the promoter.
You bet. We'll do. Okay, I'll do that. Quadrant stuff. I'll give that out to everybody. Okay.
Very good. Based on that,
in the controller one, you said they have to be in charge. So how is it that you would enter that quadrant?
You mean how would you enter that quadrant? You talk about how cool it is to be your own boss. And that's really hard for a supportive person to say. You can say, one of the greatest things I love about what I'm doing today is I'm my own boss. I mean, I'm in charge of what happens in my business, and I take control over it. You see what I'm saying? Your language shift.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? So, and great. That's very hard for a supporter to talk about, because you don't, as a supporter, you don't like to talk about that. You'd rather talk about the birds and the bees and the manna relief and how much help you have and impact on lives. And a controller looks at you like you're coming from Mars. Okay? When I send the quadrant analysis information, people, I will attach to that language that you can use to work with those different quadrants, okay? So you can see that too.
Mary Jo, where would you put yourself?
Where do I put Mary Jo?
What's your quadrant?
You're so cute. You know that Jack Lacey, one of my presidentials in my downline, ran this Monday call one time, and he did a whole training on personality quadrants. And he said, okay, Mary Jo's not, because I wasn't on the call. And he says, where do you guys put Mary Jo? And the whole Monday call was like arguing about where they put Mary Jo, and they determined that she's smack in the middle of all of them.
That's the funnest call I've ever done for you,
there's
Mary Jo.
Jack, isn't that fun? Yeah, Jack, you remember it? It was hilarious.
Yeah.
He said it was just because people love to look at Mary Jo, and people see my personality, they want to make me a promoter because they know I love people and I love fun, and I also am very successful making money. But then they say, but she's a controller because she likes bottom line results. She's very oriented towards goal setting and making and creating things and being her own boss. But then whenever you have questions about the comp plan, who do you go to? Mary Jo, because she's the analyst. And even when you look at, you know, the incentive program came out and who did all the analysis of how best to maximize your dollars and how to, you know, that's just part of my math mind. I have a huge math mind, so that's that. And then supporter, find somebody who doesn't love to support people as much as I do. You know, I just love on people, and I pour into them as much. So good question, but you probably are seeing somebody that at one time was probably in 90% promoter, but because I saw the quadrants and I saw the imperfections in me about not meeting people's needs, the one I had to work on the most, as you probably could guess, was supporter. Because I wasn't very much into that quadrant. I didn't understand it. I had a hard time working with people or supporters because I couldn't understand people who weren't driven like I was driven. And today I just love my supporter quadrant. I mean, I think I just value it so much. Yeah. Does that help?
Mary Jo, Roz had a question.
Yeah. I know. Hi, Roz, where are you? You kept getting bucked off the system. Are you still on, Roz?
I am.
Okay, what do you got for me?
Right at the beginning, when you were talking about the four H's that you said for the Welcome Back program.
The three H's.
The three H's, and you said a humble attitude, and I missed what the middle one was.
Okay, the humble attitude is about how you approach the person. You just come with total humility. The second H is help. After they get done with their whole spiel and you ask them and you let them go on and on about why they're not taking the products today, then you step in with help. In other words, you come from apology. The apology is the humble attitude, and then you support them with help. How can I help you? What if I could do this program for you and get you back started on the products? And, you know, we could work together for a period of 6 months, taking the right quantity of products, the right quantity, over 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, if you weren't totally satisfied, you could get 100% of your money back. Would you be willing to work with me on that level?
Okay, and now you also referred to the 100% money-back guarantee with a somewhat different terminology.
100% satisfaction guarantee. And the reason I use that language is some of you saw my notes I did on Wendy Kramer's call. Tim Altbader, who is a marketing guru, apparently did research analysis on it. He said that if you use the language 100% satisfaction guarantee instead of 100% money-back, you will get far fewer people who ever make a claim on getting their money back.
Okay.
So we call it the 100% satisfaction guarantee program now. And that's the language I'm trying to instill in people. So that,
right.
Because we really don't want them to get their money back. I mean, sure. That's not the goal. The goal is to help them stay on the product forever. Yes. Okay?
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else? Any other questions?
Mary Jo, I'd like to know how to get your information sent to me.
You have to go on the website, manatrain.net, manatrain.net, remember, N-E-T, not com, okay, and sign up for the Yahoo group. There's a Yahoo group you can sign up, and then you'll get the Monday call. You'll get an outline for every Monday call, plus any of the follow-up stuff that comes off the Monday call. like the whole flurry of things. I have about four or five on my list for today. So to keep everybody, you know, to get materials into people's hands as follow-up to the Monday call, and you'll get that information.
Okay, I hope I caught all that. I was getting some interference, but you said manatrain.net and then the Yahoo group.
But yeah,
right?
Yeah, it'll say if you want to be on the Yahoo group, that you'll have to sign up yourself. You'll sign up with your email address, and once you're on that group, you get everything that flows because I send it out through the Yahoo group. I don't
Thank
manage
you very
that.
Much.
You manage it yourself, okay? You bet. Okay,
the
anything
date
else?
On that
yeah,
Wall Street
America,
Journal.
Sam's meetings that he's doing, is that then on the Manatech website under the meetings?
Sam's meetings? I don't know if he's if there's a Sam on the road schedule yet. Does anyone know that on the Manatech webpage? I don't know that. I just
Do you
know
have
that.
Details that you
I'm,
could email
I'm hearing.
Us?
I'm hearing just from the people out in the you know, hinterland where Sam's going to be based on them telling me that he's with us next week or whatever. So that's all. You might want to, let me put a note down. I'll contact Manatech and find out how we can find out Sam's schedule. MTech for Sam's schedule. Okay.
Mary Jo, what was the third H?
Is HIT. And I don't like the word, but that's the only H I could come up with. It's hit them up for referrals. Okay?
I put them hit them with heart.
Yeah. So hit people up, you know how you use that slang terminology, hit them up. Hit them up for referrals. That's the third one. You bet. Okay, Sam.
Mary Jo, before you go, would you say one more time what you said to the flight attendant?
Okay, when you mean for
so
the
good.
First time? You mean when I first started talking to her? Just acknowledge
right.
I just acknowledged her. I said, you know, you got this incredible personality. And this is probably different than what I actually said because I don't memorize what I said. But I just acknowledged her great personality. I said, you just love talking to people. You love helping people. You have such a joy about you, and you just are so outgoing. And she loved it. I mean, people love to get compliments, right? So it was true. I mean, I didn't make this up. This is exactly how this woman is, you know. So we talked a little bit about that. And then I looked at her and I said, you know, with your kind of personality and your love of sharing and just getting to know people, have you ever thought about doing something other than being a stewardess? Because there are so many opportunities for you to make just an unlimited income out there. And then I stopped. I just let her think. Has she ever thought about doing something else? And intrigued her by the concept of there's so many opportunities for her to make unlimited income. And see what she said. And she looked at me. I mean, this woman just looked at me, and she goes, well, yeah, she said, I've looked at other things, but I'm always looking for, you know, something that's going to create more income because that would really help my family. I got two. She started talking about her kids. And I said, great. You know what? I'd love to talk to you. And she said, well, what do you, and I go, no, I think this is the wrong time. I think you and I just need to get on the phone together, and let's talk next week. And then we exchange cards. How's that? Cool? I didn't want to get into it. It wasn't about dragging her down on the airplane. It was about what? About intriguing her so she could think about it for the next 4 days that she met this woman that really thought she had a tremendous personality and they had some opportunities for her to get involved in some things with her personality that really created unlimited income for her. Okay, any other questions? Somebody asked me about the Wall Street Journal article. Are we still on?
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now...